Agenda item number four, discussion and possible action on Federal Energy Regulatory Commission update, presented by Michael McClendon, Upper Basin Regional Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to kind of provide an update to the board on our decommissioning efforts to date. We can go to the next slide. I had this slide in, I guess, prior to the rains that occurred. Obviously, the slide is going to change a little bit based upon those recent rain events. However, one of the things that I did want to point out, too, is about this same time last year, our reservoirs were almost full with the drought and projected to continue. Our reservoirs, I think, are about 72-74% full, and so it's very likely that with the continuation of the drought that we could find ourselves in a condition where we need to access some of the water that is located behind Possum Kingdom Reservoir. That's why we would recommend that we move forward with this accelerated pace with regard to the controlled outlet conduit. Our original plans had us completing the outlet conduit in about the year 2014. That plan was acceptable until the existing drought and its projected time frame into the 2012 season. This slide is represented or illustrates the necessity for moving the project forward. As you can see there, Possum Kingdom is one of our larger reservoirs, and that's where a significant amount of our water resides. If you'll recall, in October, we briefed the board about two various options that we looked at to access that water, and I'll call it trapped water, behind Possum Kingdom Reservoir. We looked at a siphoning project and then also a pump-around project. Those were temporary solutions. They were also at a cost of about $4.5 to $12.5 million. Staff, whenever we evaluated that, we determined that a more prudent use of the Brazos River Authority's funds would be to move forward and accelerate the more permanent solution, and that being the installation of the controlled outlet conduit. You can go to the next slide. I've included this slide to provide an illustration. I'm going to talk about a timeline here in just a minute and some specific projects associated with that timeline. I wanted to be able to show you on about some of the projects that I'll be discussing. You can see on the right there that we have the two existing penstocks that are at Possum Kingdom Reservoir, and the proposed outlet conduit will be on the left-hand side there. When Moore Shepherd Dam was constructed, it was designed to accommodate that a third penstock. We've moved forward with the controlled outlet conduit to meet some of our water customer demands downstream. Also, if you'll recall, in prior briefings, we've advised that we don't have the capacity to move water downstream through those existing penstocks because of safety concerns and associated with those penstocks. Also depicted on here up at the top, you'll see our head gates. Currently, we have one head gate over those existing penstocks. Our plan is to cut the penstocks, then we would cap them, and then we would concrete those two existing penstocks, and then we would add another pin or another head gate in front of the controlled outlet conduit. And the head gates are used to perform maintenance on the penstocks, or in this case, it'll be the outlet conduit. Lastly, I wanted to point out one of the projects is the powerhouse. If you'll recall, we have an asbestos abatement issue associated with the powerhouse where to remediate some of the windows and remove those windows. Originally, we had contemplated the Brazos River Authority contracting directly with the provider to perform that abatement. Whenever we started talking about the project with our engineering consultant, they recommended that we move that function over to the general contractor. This provides the general contractor the ability to coordinate those efforts. That way, we don't have two different folks competing. He can coordinate the scheduling of when the abatement needs to occur, and that way the Brazos River Authority doesn't have a contractor on site and then the general contractor. If the general contractor is coordinating those efforts, he can do that more easily. Go to the next slide. I think y'all have seen this photo in several presentations prior to this one. As you know, the drought's projected to continue. Prior to our recent rains, Our projection was that without significant inflows, that we would reach the elevation 987 level in about the April or May time frame. That's obviously been moved out a little bit since the recent rains, but it's still imperative that we move forward with this project. Once we hit the elevation 987, that's where the gates at Possum Kingdom Dam can no longer pass significant flows. And once you get past that 987, the only means to pass water is through our low-flow outlets or low-flow gates. So between elevation 987 and 976, once we were to reach that point, you can only pass water through low-flow gates. Depending upon the elevation of the reservoir, probably where it's at right now, you could pass about 150 to 170 CFS. That's enough to meet our environmental needs, and although it's not necessary right now, if we were trying to stay in concert with the lake level management study where you keep a balance between PK and Granbury, as y'all know, Granbury's full at this point, but the low flow gates don't allow us to meet our contractual demands downstream. So in order to do that, what we've recommended and the board has approved us to move forward with is the installation of the controlled outlet conduit. Basically, the controlled outlet conduit, it's going to allow us to operate as we have for the past 70-plus years to meet our downstream water demands, and we'll do that, except for you won't have the hydroelectric generation. Go to the next slide. I think everybody's seen this slide before, too. This is just an overhead view. If you were looking straight down on top of the valve system there. And there will be, I think it's a 78-inch and a 42-inch valves. We can go to the next slide. I'll talk about the timeline here. I think, as I previously mentioned, our original estimate was that we'd get through with the project in 2014. Obviously, because of the drought situation, we've had to accelerate that schedule. If you look on the far left, there, the Brazos River Authority filed our application in July of last year. FERC came back December 23rd, right before Christmas, and approved the decommissioning of our hydroelectric facilities contingent upon completion of the controlled outlet conduit. Our design and headgate construction is being conducted in concert with this schedule, and it's being accelerated to accommodate for the need to possibly meet downstream water demands if the drought were to continue. Prior to moving forward with the construction activities, FERC has to approve our design plans. We anticipate that to be completed here in March. And then what we'll need to do is after FERC approves our design plans, we would move forward and have to begin awarding contracts. There will be a contract. Currently, we have an existing contract with Fries and Nichols for some of the design work because we were accelerating the project, and we've added some additional tasks to that. There's some additional funds that we would need to move forward with Fries and Nichols to amend their contract. There's some of the services that they'll be providing are they'll be the RPR services. Basically, that's where they're the engineer on site making sure that all the design or that's being constructed in accordance with design. They have to complete an operations manual. They'll be also doing the asbestos abatement and other geotechnical oversight out at the facility. We'll also have to enter into a contract with a general contractor to perform his duties. In association with that, there's three main projects associated with that. You've got the new headgate construction, and then we also have the valves. Basically, this is the piping, and then the valves. The valves are the 72-inch and 48-inch valves that I'll show you a picture of here in just a minute. The head gate should be completed in June. I guess let me back up real quick. Prior to moving forward with that, the asbestos has to be completed prior to construction. Until construction begins. We anticipate that the headgate should be completed in June, and then the valves and the piping will be installed probably around the July time frame. After that, we hope to be able to pass flows through the new controlled outlet conduit in about the October-November time frame. And then there will be some miscellaneous work that we'll have to close up with, and hopefully around the spring of 2012 is whenever we anticipate FERC approval of the project. Go on the next slide, and I think this is John.
Could you go back for just a moment?
Sure.
The elevations on the with the exclamation points, what are those? Is that where they have to go to?
Well, actually, and these, I didn't have time between the rains to update this slide. This is whenever that was.
Are you talking about these right here?
Yeah, that was where the projections were based upon old numbers of what in October we would hit that elevation. And I think Brad can speak to that a little bit later when he gives a drought update of at what point it'll hit that.
When the power plant was operating, how often was PK at that 987 level or below? Is that a regular occurrence?
It's been below. No, it's not a regular occurrence. It's been below 987. I don't know if Brad.
It was pretty infrequent that we were below that elevation. Back years ago, before a lot of the other lakes were built, we generated a lot more heavily. And I believe in the 50s, the lake got down to around 964. But back when we were generating 6 or 8 years ago under our contract with Brazos Electric, once the lake got down to elevation 990, we weren't allowed to generate for electricity production anymore anyway. So at that point, it would have just been removing water supply downstream. So
it's been pretty seldom that we've been below 987 historically.
Go to the next slide.
This is the really the numbers of the are the budget implication to what Mike is talking about, and as he alluded to, the first thing we're proposing to do, and you all see a resolution in just a few minutes here, is to combine two projects. You had authorized two projects back in July when you authorized the budget for fiscal 12, the powerhouse window replacements you see up there and the hydro decommissioning. And what we're simply proposing in our first step is to combine those two projects in accordance with what Mike had talked about, because the contractor's going to be doing them both really together, and it's not practical to try to split that out anymore. So that's the first step, and that's simply combining them. Then the next step is bringing the additional expenditure that we expect into the 2012 time period, because obviously this is an acceleration. And the first step, you can see where it says plus FY 2013 projected $2,250,000, that's sort of in the middle in there. We'd originally, of course, budgeted that much money in the original project to be done in 13. We're going to bring that back into 12. So that's simply just going to be brought back into this time frame. And then the additional, the next line is the additional cost associated with really expediting the project, which is about $2.5 million. And so that's an additional expense associated with doing it in this expedited fashion. So you can see it goes from, if you look in the FY12 budget line, from about $4.3 million originally authorized to about $9.1 million now authorized with the movement of that and also the additional costs. So be happy to answer any questions. And that's what there'll be a resolution that'll discuss.
I don't understand the $2.5,236,000 additional to expedite. What's the cost factor?
Well, I'll let Mike or Terry or something speak to exactly the reasons for that. That's a pure additional cost to do it sooner and having to have more personnel and to do it in a shorter time frame. But I'll let somebody that's more familiar with the engineering.
Primarily, it's giving us the ability to work, let the contractor work longer hours, bring more people in, whatever he needs to do to get the project done. There is some contingency money in this for unknowns that we don't know, and it's what we don't know is what bothers us. Yeah. And so we want to make sure we have enough, but we also know that the contractor, because we're having to expedite it with the engineering as well as the construction, there's more hours, more time spent on it than it would normally be.
So that's not a hard figure.
That is a hard figure.
That is, yes. A hard figure.
Okay. That is
Brady, part of the thing is, you know, we're coming up on 100 years here, and whenever we get in there and start moving those things around and the guys of safety and putting caps on that stuff, and in accordance with FERC and all the other things, that's a contingency fund to make sure that that safety is paramount and it's done.
Can we assume with new, what is it, 60 years, 70 years since we did the old penstocks, that the new penstock would be of a different material, or
well,
that we don't have the same problem that developed in the cracking or the spalling?
We're going to use the best, you know, we're going to analyze the steel and make sure we put the proper steel in plus the proper coating on it. The steel that was used before was more steel, and so it had a lot more carbon in it than the steel probably will today. So today's steel is a lot better perfected than the steel at that time. And so,
yes. Refresh my memory, is the opening already there in the dam?
No, sir.
So,
no,
well,
so
we have to go through?
Go back to the picture.
We have to go through the concrete dam to do the new fence stuff?
At the top, you've got a thimble already through the dam up there at the very top, and it's capped off right now, and then it's got a concrete coating on top of it. We'll take that off and open it up, and then we'll bring it back down. The part that goes through the powerhouse itself is not there. And that will be take some drilling, jackhammering, to drill through the existing
concrete that's been there.
Right here, here's a drill place. And then where is it? Terry, here? Or
right there.
Okay. You can move forward with the last slide. Go back to that real quick. That the spring of 2012 is whenever FERC would do that. It's actually 2013, and so I just wanted to clarify that issue when FERC would anticipate their approval. Go to the next slide. And that's just a representative. That's not a photo of exactly what will be there, but it's representative of what will be on the downstream side coming out of the powerhouse. Like I said, there will be a 42-inch and then a 78-inch. Our total capacity to release flows will be about 2,100 CFS. Next slide is a resolution. Yes, sir.
As I remember, there were some costs associated to FERC. Does this number include the fees to FERC and so forth for the?
Yes, sir. It's all inclusive.
So this is a total. This is a projected total cost, point A to point B.
That's correct. Provided this resolution, basically. Oh, is there more? Is there any more questions?
I'm going to ask a stupid question. What again? Water. We've got more water than we had, but the necessity of speeding this thing up to spend another $2.5 million.
If you don't have it, well, then you're damned. And then if you want to speed it up, you're damned. No pun intended.
Now, wait a minute.
On October the 1st, if the projections, and that's what they are, is projections that we're going to run out of water and there's no water available in the basin. And if you go back to Mike's first chart, please. The one with the deal. The other thing guiding us is that we have used these more. And we've used these, and these people are in the drought contingency plans earlier, and so this hampers our ability to do this that we used to have whenever we had, whenever we were generating electricity. And so, does it stay up there and evaporate? Are you able to use it as we get in a situation because of the drought and because of the requirements? To meet the in-stream flows, we have no idea what that's going to be. There's two studies that we just asked for approval to do 13 studies for SysOps. There's a whole other range of studies going on to figure out what the scientists and the other folks say is going to be maybe additive to that for the environment.
Okay, I'll ask another stupid question. Suppose it starts raining, and it rains all spring. Do we have the ability within our contracts to say, okay, stop the overtime, stop the extra hours, let's go back to our original schedule?
Generally, with our contracts, we can basically go in and cease work at any time. We can terminate and redo. The problem that we've got here is, correct me if I'm wrong, Terry, a good portion of the money is going to be spent up front because to expedite this project, we're having to actually design things in advance, fabricate parts and systems, and that's where a bunch of the money is. And Terry can probably talk about that, such that we'll have already spent a good deal of the money at the initiation of the project, I believe.
We're letting the contract for the contractor out today. The problem you've got is unless you can tell the contractor when you will begin, when you will shut them down, they can't adjust their price. So what that means is if you know now that you're not going to have to, you can extend the contract out, then they can make adjustments for that. If you wait till 90% complete and then tell the contractor stop and cease and we can extend it out, it doesn't do them any good, so you don't get a cost break. So bottom line, we've got to know when we submit the sent the RFP out what our decision was going to be. And based on what Brad's telling us and based on where we were last year, we were almost 100% full this time last year, and we ended up pretty much in a drought condition, a severe drought. If we start the year off next year at 60% full, we could be in a very bad position. So that's kind of what drove our decision, is based on where we were or where we are at this time.
It's not a science.
But these numbers here are spent. This is December 31st, not today.
No, these are projected.
Lakeland, but that's not correct today.
Right.
That's what we made the original decision to go forth that it was projected.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is these lake levels are higher
they're
today. They're
75%.
75%, not 32%.
Well, it just seems like an awful lot of money to speed the process up. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or different.
What was the original completion date? How many months is that? $2.5 million.
It was 2014. I think it was early 2014. So, right, and so it's moved it up to October or September timeframe of 2012. Yes, sir.
I have two questions. You said it was 2,100 cubic feet per second?
Yes, sir.
How does that relate to acre feet? And then also, how does $2 million relate to acre feet at prices we're selling?
Brad's going to try to answer that for you.
The 2,100 acre feet, or 2,100 cubic feet per second, which is the capacity that we'll have to release out of this, that's about 4,000 acre feet of water in a day. It gives you the capability to release that much. This past summer, we were releasing around 1,000 cubic feet per second for our downstream customers at the peak of the summer when we had our highest demands. And so the 2,100 is what we ultimately see looking down out to 2060 in the future, what we ultimately need the capability to release water out of that dam to meet downstream demands in a very severe drought with the future increases in water use that we're going to see on the system. And what was the second part?
I'm trying to relate the acre feet back to the $2 million back to how many additional acre feet you would have to sell.
Well, one way to look at that might be we make interruptible water available in October of each year. And last year in 2011, we sold 120,000 acre feet of interruptible water, which is how many million dollars?
Over $6 million.
A little over $6 million. This past October, when the board set our interruptible water for 2012, we had to take some of the water off the table from Possum Kingdom because it's basically trapped there unless we do this. So we weren't able to sell that water because we were afraid that if we don't get this built or if the drought gets too bad too quick, we won't be able to get it out. And I think that was around 60,000 acre feet of interruptible water that we calculated is available if we could get to it. So you'd be looking at $2 or $3 million worth of interruptible water potentially that could be made available with this.
I think what we're trying to get over here is the swallowing the $2.5 million and really the simplest 20 words or less explanation as to what we're saving, you know, what the benefit is. Ultimately, it's either going to save us water or it's going to save us money. So,
yeah, I'll try to be brief, but and perhaps I'll just go back to what Mr. Ford said. I think there's actually the lake levels, the current lake levels that we have right now that are moved out to, we've bought a few additional months with this, with these recent rains. Our lake levels last year, about the same time period, were, our reservoirs were almost full. If right now they're only about 72, 74% full. The need to accelerate the project, with the drought projected to continue, as Brad said, once we get to that lake level elevation, we won't be able to meet some of our downstream water demands. I think that's the most significant.
Let me say another thing.
That helps. I mean, I'm sorry.
Let me say another thing. We base all of our projections based upon the drought of record, which currently was the 50s. We were on a vector, we may still be on a vector, that we were going to exceed that drought. And so we're planning for the worst case to be ready in the event that it's
absolutely. So in simplest terms, it's going to help us prevent a catastrophe downstream due to a lack of water.
Or not being able to get the water that we have, yes.
Continue.
Okay.
Hey, Mike, can you go back to the slide where it shows the different lake levels and at what point we can get water out now and where it'll take us?
I think it's the next.
One more.
This one.
Yeah, so currently we're able to get water out with our current system down to 987. But the new one will allow us to give out at 921, down to 921. Is that right?
That's right.
And what level are we at right now?
We're about 990.
And if the drought is a duplicate of this past summer, where do you expect us to be this summer?
That other slide that we had up there was what we were projecting last Monday before it rained. And so we're going to update that now that we've got the rain. The lakes have come up some. But we could easily be down to below 987 by the end of this summer if it stops raining right now. So
what we're saying is, in the event of another severe drought, which we're
still in the drought,
is likely a good possibility, then this will have proven to be a very wise expenditure of $2.5 million. On the other hand, if we get plenty of rain, then our insurance premium of $2.5 million was spent for a catastrophe that didn't occur.
That's correct.
Okay.
But this is going to be there forever.
Right. We're going to need that capability.
Every year. Well, but once this is done, I mean, this is to speed it up.
Right.
So that's for this year's benefit.
But it could be next year. It could be 5 years from now.
10.
Are there any additional questions?
Not out of the one we're in.
Read the resolution, please.
Read the resolution. The following resolution is presented for consideration to the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority for adoption at its January 30th, 2012 meeting. Be it resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to combine the fiscal year 2012 PK Powerhouse Windows Replacement Capital Project Budget of $200,000 with the fiscal year 2012 PK Hydro Decommissioning Capital Project Budget of $4,153,580, thus resulting in a new fiscal year 2012 PK Hydro Decommissioning Capital Project Budget of $4,353,580, and be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to amend the fiscal year 2012 PK Hydro Decommissioning Capital Project Budget from $4,353,580 to $9,103,816, with the additional funding provided from the Rate Stabilization Fund. And be it further resolved that the Board of Directors of the Brazos River Authority hereby authorizes the General Manager, CEO, to execute any and all contracts necessary to complete the PK Hydro Decommissioning Project, so long as such contracts do not exceed $9,103,816.
Motion to approve.
You heard the reading of the resolution. Is there a motion to adopt?
So move.
Tish.
Mackey.
Hold the board, please.
Presiding Officer Scott.
Yes.
Director Adams.
Yes.
Director Ball.
Yes.
Director Barr.
Yes.
Director Bell.
Yes.
Director Belt.
Yes.
Director Bennis.
Yes.
Director Borland.
Yes.
Director Brashears.
Yes.
Director Christensen. Director Christian.
Yes.
Director Creel.
Yes.
Director Mackey.
Yes.
Director Masterson.
Yes.
Director Munson.
Yes.
Director Rankin.
Yes.
Director Tallis. Director Tesh.
Yes.
Director Zaccanino.
Yes.
All right.
Phil says it's time for lunch. If you all try to be back in here by 12:30.